Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 International Film Festival, Rotterdam. And I'm very pleased to be joined by one of the actresses of the great film Scumbag that's been shown here at the festival, Camille Waldorf. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, yes, the obligatory first question would be, would you be able to tell us a little bit about the character that you play in the film?
Yes, I play Megan, and she sort of, like, holds everybody together a little bit, but she is going through, in the process of the film, an abusive relationship with her boyfriend.
Right.
So, you know, she's at work, and she sort of kind of keeps everybody together, and she starts to a little bit have some rebellious ins that sort of lash out here and there,
because
she has to sit around with a bruise on her face.
Exactly. So take me through the genesis of the project for you. Did you get a script? What did you find interesting about it? What did you find interesting about the character initially?
Yeah, well, I actually had met Mars through a friend, and he just straight away asked me to play the character. So I did go through and read the script. Funny enough, I didn't read the part that she had a black eye, so I found out that day because I forgot. Like, it was so overwhelming. There was so much, and everything happened so fast. But the script was great. I really loved it, and I think it's incredibly courageous anytime a person goes and makes a story about their life and when they've had an exceptionally colorful life.
Yeah, but what about you, though, in the sense that this film is also set in the 90s, so it's got a lot of cultural stuff going on and references to the 90s, even though it's a very original take on the 90s. But what was your kind of, connection to the 90s in that world?
Gosh, in the 90s, I was in college, I was in school, and I was actually around some of the people that were in New York City, like that whole scene in New York.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit acquainted with that whole world, and I was in school. I was a fine art painter, so I was in school for painting and film and all sorts of things, and being pulled into that sort of club kid world a little bit on the outskirts, sort of after it died down. A lot of those people are filmmakers and artists and creative types. So I actually ran into a lot of those people in school. And
really?
So
the people that are in the movie, or
Michael Alec, who's in the film, my ex-boyfriend, who I met in school, was part of that whole scene in New York City. So he had shown me the Party Monster film, and actually ended up editing the script to the film for James St. James. So it's very strange how the whole circle of people has sort of come full circle, and a lot of those people are in the film and that whole culture. I was always trying to. Well, I was studying so much because I was in college at 13 and transferred at 16 to art school, that I was so busy and trying never to go out and be around people or be accessible because I was so focused on what I was doing.
Right.
I saw how crazy that life is. I think it didn't scare me, but it definitely, I was in awe.
Well, you brought in your own experiences, in the movie, like you made them yours in a way. It was like you were, I guess, like, you know, in a film like this, maybe, like, you know, as an actor, you really feel like you're part of it, and maybe you've got your own interpretation of the movie as a whole.
Yeah, I really created my character from different things, different perspectives that I have, and different people that I've known and seen, and I just sort of kind of mixed those things together and then just let her come alive and have that experience through her, which is fun.
What about the active work on set? What was that? What was the experience like?
Wow, it was pretty. I was a little in shock because you have all these extreme characters and artists, and everyone's like a pioneer in everything that they do. And so my eyes were like wide open, my mouth was kind of open a lot of times because I was just like, oh, like, is this real? Is this real? Like, is this really how this person is? Their personality and stuff. So,
is this real? Is a direct quote of one of the songs in the movie.
Is it? Oh, yes, that's right.
The musical scene.
Yeah, I was really blown away at the eccentric aspect of everybody's character and the richness of everybody's character that I just really sat there and tried to absorb it, and yes. then also react and interact with people and build my character that way as mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyways, you mentioned the little bit about the camaraderie. I'm fascinated talking about this movie because it seems like, you know, a lot of people came together and really like are part of a scene there, and many of our listeners may not be familiar with the scene, you know, in film and arts that you're a part of that you mentioned a little bit about there. How does it work exactly? Can you just kind of explain it a little more? Like you there's a lot of projects, and like, you know, you guys are just interacting with one another through arts.
You mean like where I live or in my daily life? Or
Yeah. Like the community. And in my case, because, you know, I'm from Europe, I would identify it as like American as a whole. But even just like, you know.
Like, let's narrow it, like Los Angeles,
exactly,
and
yeah.
New York. Like
exactly.
Kind of Soho, Chelsea sort of. Yeah. Those are the kind of the two areas I go back and forth from. And in Hollywood, in L.A., you know, there's a lot of museums, there's a lot of art shows, there's a lot of great galleries. So people flock to those gallery mm-hmm. exhibitions, and people know each other for a long time. And there's filmmakers, there's musicians, all kinds of people. And then the music shows, so people just sort of filtrate in and out. But yeah. if you're doing your own work, you know, you create your work, and then you share it with people here and there, and then it kind of can start like a wildfire.
Right.
So, and actually, I was trying to stay out of L.A. I was finishing a book and getting ready for a solo art exhibition when I was writing a lot of these pieces of music. And Mars had just randomly asked me, you know, I'd like to hear some of it. So that's how yes. my song Delicate Boy ended up in the film.
Yeah.
And I had no intention of, like, you know, put it. I mean, obviously sharing it and putting it out there eventually, but it's sort of just like, it was like a horse that just took off with me in the forest. I was like, okay, I'm going. I'm going to go and race, you know, race with it and just see what happens. But
so besides being an actress, you're also a songwriter. You're also, you mentioned an art exhibition there.
Well, yeah, I'm a fine art painter. I just started working with George Burgess Gallery in Soho. So, I mean,
right.
I've been doing it all my life, though, but you should, you know, take a long time and work hard and build your stuff and then you're just beginning after like 20 years.
What's your drive? Like, what makes you want to be involved in all these things and be involved in a sector that's so vulnerable, like the arts sector? It's kind of wild.
You know, when I was a little girl, when I was really little, I used to look at people and I would look at their eyelashes and their face and the detail of their soul and their energy and the essence of who they were or are. And I would just think it was so incredibly beautiful that I felt like I was going to die if I didn't transfer it. Like, I had this, like, crazy sensation that was so painful that if I didn't release how much I loved that and what I saw and the depth and the ability to look into their whole energy and transfer that and be able to look at it forever as something that lasts forever, as opposed to how temporary those moments are. Because even when you interact with people, it's like, oh, I love you, or you're my best friend. You know, things, life, people move around and change. You just never know what will happen. But when you have a piece, it's like it lives forever, and it's like a dimensional world and space. You can play that song, or you can look at that painting, and you can create a world you want to live in, as opposed to possibly let your experiences define you.
Art as a weapon against the disappearance and mortality of things, maybe?
Yeah, and also resolving pain into the power of how your heart really is,
right.
and what you really truly see, and how that can trigger and open up things by kind of hitting the nail on the head, maybe not by directly explaining it so obviously, but in an indirect way, where there's sort of an underlying expression.
That's very interesting. Well, I think that's all the time we have for now.
Okay.
But it was a great pleasure talking with you, and I wish you all the best, and I wish Scumbag all the best, because I really enjoyed the film. It's a lot of fun, and I urge all our listeners to check it out. Thanks very much once again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.